And I would like to introduce, first of all, our first keynote speaker, Dr. Günter Lazan, even though she doesn't really need any kind of introduction anymore.
Please don't.
But still. Günter, you are officially the program manager for sexual and reproductive health in the Division of Non-Communicable Diseases and Promoting Health Through the Life Course from the WHO Regional Office for Europe. This is already quite something, if one goes by the title. And the way, as we have heard this morning, and also the way I've experienced over all these years, Günter, she's really one of the driving forces and one of the pillars in the field of sexuality education. And I know you're going back to your to one of your former jobs, like being a professor at university, but Günter is also a gynecologist by profession, and she has tremendous experience in working in international organizations.
Birgit, stop. I will fly away.
No,
there will be those, you know.
I have this chance, and I use it. It is really, really with great pleasure that I give the floor to you. Günter, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for applause as well, as my time is almost over, so I think we can finish with that as well. Anyway, guys, every speaker, before the keynote speech, you are always thinking about main messages you want your audience to remember. And I really hope that two main messages will come through my presentation today. So, where should I put it? Okay. So, first of all, the title included the word sexual health. Sexual health officially is not defined by your countries. Actually, we don't know what is sexual health. When the famous action plan that has been mentioned several times and will be mentioned in this presentation was discussed last year in the Regional Committee for Europe with all 53 member states present, one of the officials who was representing one of 53 countries started his presentation saying, "What the abracadabra is it?" So, sexual health, let's start with that, at least with the working definition we have. Sexual health is a state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It is not merely the absence of disease, dysfunction, or infirmity. Sexual health requires a positive and respectful approach to sexuality and sexual relationships, as well as the possibility of having pleasurable and safe sexual experiences, free of coercion, discrimination, and violence. There are so many very complicated and challenging words in this working definition that it may really cause a lot of different discussions that I hope actually will take place this meeting. I will not go into the details of reproductive health. So sexual health, we don't know what it is, but we have the working definition, and the world cannot agree on what it is. Young people or adolescents, youth, actually even here, we don't have a clear definition. As you all already felt like you all are young in your hearts, and so many of you stand up when I asked. So this is the working definitions usually of adolescents, youth, and young people in general. So, as you see, we will speak in this conference when speaking about young people around from 10 to 24. So, sexual health, we don't know. Young people, we also question. Now, what do we know? And here, of course, I should start with the work that has been done since last century. Imagine sustainable thing. Health behavior school-age children surveys are really sustainable since last century, and every 4 years, more and more countries are joining this very important survey. Yes, you will say only a few questions there are on sexual health. However, it is so important to have them there, because not all countries do have questions on sexual health. I don't even think that you will now find your own country, or you will find the percentage. It was not planned for that. I just wanted to emphasize that HPSC exists, and there are two questions, two areas, and there are sex desegregated data for 15-year-old ones. And these are one of the best ever information for sexual health of adolescents in general for the European region. Of course, US and Canada are also there. In Eurovision, Australia was participating. You never know who will join. But I call all countries who are not yet the members of HPSC to really discuss with governments and have a possibility to join. There are some data from HPSC that is a little bit worrying. And you see the graph, it's a negative graph. It comes down. This is the percentage of 15-year-old ones who used condom at last intercourse. Both boys and girls, average in Europe. There are differences in those more than 40 countries, but this is decreasing. This is a warning information. Our good partner, UNFPA, has been mentioned many times. Adolescent pregnancy. Adolescent pregnancy is already the outcome, of course, sometimes. And there are countries where adolescent pregnancy is a choice, not a chance. However, the diversity is between East and West is big. Are those 32 per 1,000 births of adolescents, births to adolescents, are they really the choice? That's a big question mark. Do we know about that much? Percentage of all live births to mothers age under 20 years in the WHO European region is very diverse. And when looking for this slide, and I just was thinking, oh, why Russian Federation is so light? And as you see, lighter it is in colors, the higher is the birth rate, the percentage. But then I checked that actually Russian Federation data are from last century. The last data are 1999. So here again I say, even there are databases, and this is the WHO Health for All database, countries which are to submit the data, official that health information to the WHO, not always proceed with that. And so sometimes these data are out of date and we don't even know what is the real situation. This is a nice overview by a big group of authors, well known in the world of sexual and reproductive health, especially when speaking about adolescents. Again, a slide is not to go into the details, but the slide is to show the diversity. And these are European Union countries or linked Western European countries as well here. So a lot of countries that diversity, even with this small group of countries, is high. So data are from 2011 or 2008 in the Netherlands. Again, why so old data? More than almost 10 years now. So why we do not analyze and why we do not make really lessons learned or actions according to data? That's the problem. We spoke about adolescent pregnancies, contraception before, but in some countries, sexual health, when working definition is used, actually immediately is linked only with one thing, sexually transmitted infections. Nothing else. No reproductive health, because that's considered reproductive, but only STIs. If you have some country sexual health strategies, when you open them, it's all about STIs. There's no even about sexual well-being, but about STIs. So anyway, the situation about the data on STIs is really scary. Really. When we, with my co-worker, Clemens, where are you? Clemens, our intern in WHO, were working on this presentation, and thank you, Clemens, for that. We were really, she as an intern came and said, Gunther, but we have no data. So anyway, for those scared data that we have, we see that the country Sweden seems awful, awful in comparison to others. I would say they are the best. Compliments to them. Why? They are actively screening and not actively looking and reporting the data. Many countries, and I don't believe that in Spain, so temperamentic Spain, the level of chlamydia is almost zero. I really don't believe in that. So that's, of course, what we are. And then the other message that is very important is whatever is the chlamydia thing and incidence in different age groups, you see how it differs. And the biggest impact of chlamydia infection, and I'm a gynecologist, I know especially women well, chronic pelvic pain, not speaking about infertility and many other complications for the long, lifelong impact of this infection. So we are really to be very much more active about that. But that's all about ill health. The main question is, are you satisfied with your sexual and reproductive health? How to measure that? Some countries do try and even manage that. For example, Dutch satisfaction with sexual relationships ages 12 to 25. You see the percentage. Yes, dear ladies, we are much more satisfied than those men, and especially in those age groups. The situation is a little bit different in Spain, especially with the progress of the years. If you see the, and it is, I want to emphasize that this is sexual relations with stable partners and call, if I'm quoted, let go for stable partnership. You will be much more satisfied with your sexual health. Because if you look the same data with unstable partners, it is different. And there are, of course, some diversities with the age. Sometimes those who have stable partnership are a little bit bored, but that we'll not discuss in this conference. Next. So one main message is we don't know almost anything. We don't know about adolescent and young people's sexual health and well-being. And it is so minimal data to compare and really have a possibility to comparison. The second message is now is the right time. Why? Of course, you see Sustainable Development Goals approved in 2015 by all countries, for all countries, by UN countries, but for all countries, for West and East, not only as MDGs, but more for developing world. And this document strongly has the at least mentioned sexual health. I'm not speaking about rights that much, but sexual health is mentioned. There are many indicators on monitoring the progress on sustainable development goal. Those arrows are areas where sexual and reproductive health is mentioned. Those in a special text, these are there where adolescents and young people is mentioned. So I will not go into details of that, and I see that many people are taking photos. I thank you very much for that. However, I want, on behalf of organizers, say that all presentations will be available on the Dropbox, so you will have much better quality than maybe your photos. Percentage of population of married or in union before age 18. It's maybe not that big problem in Western Europe, but I'm so happy that in this conference we have representatives from Central Asia, Eastern Europe, where the percentage is really, in some countries, very high. These two countries are the latest data just to compare the lowest and the highest in Eastern Europe where the data are available, but there are countries where it's almost a little bit older data, but almost 15% of population married or in union before age 18. Half of Roma women, ages 20 to 24, marry before age 18 in some of the countries and some of the discussions. Half. And now remember your children or grandchildren of that age group. They are already mothers, or they are wives. So why now is the right moment? Besides sustainable development goals that already mentioned in 2015, there were one very important global document and the important regional document that has been mentioned already by all speakers or more. So the global strategy for women's, children's and adolescent health, very important, strong document. Yes, it is mostly on reproductive health, and maybe Europe was saying sexual well-being is not that well developed in this document, but that's why I will go on with the next documents for Europe. The Minsk Declaration was mentioned in life course approach. Life course approach, and that would be in the slide of Professor Stefferson from United Kingdom. Edith allowed me to show that. I just wanted to say that this age, where we are speaking 10 to 24, includes a lot of opportunities that we are not to miss, and we are to speak during this conference, starting with, of course, sexuality education in schools, but also a possibility of health sector to educate more, like HPV vaccination or preconception care. We heard already in some of the countries where birth rates are much higher, and so on. Few things that WHO has helped countries in monitoring the progress of implementation of WHO documents. I mentioned two, Minsk Declaration, but there in 2014 there was a strategy on child and adolescent health that was approved. And my colleagues in the program of child and adolescent health have approached all member states with a question on implementation of this action plan, of this strategy. And you see the links to the next presentation on sexuality education, policies on sexuality education. Of course, some countries didn't reply, questions not answered, or data not available, or clear red color with no. Access to contraception for adolescents without parental consent. Clear red dots with no. And here, 2016. Last year was a special year. A special year because of to be or not to be for sexual and reproductive health and rights in the WHO European region. We had a document on strategy on women's health and well-being in the WHO European region that was also discussed in the, and adopted in the regional committee, but many countries said, why do we need a separate action plan for sexual and reproductive health if we have strategy for women's health? So for 2 years, we were working with member states saying that sexual and reproductive health is not only women, and women's health is not only sexual and reproductive health. So that is a very important message that was reached the member states in the regional committee, and both documents were there. That was the first time when sexual and reproductive health action plan was in the regional committee. And now two words about the regional committee. Yes, this is a fora, governing body of the European region. It is the regional committee or governing body that decides what is important for health in this region, in your countries. And in this region, for the first time, sexual and reproductive health was discussed. Unbelievable, but for the first time. And it was the first time when three countries almost blocked the document. It was quite an interesting moment. I would not say it was good for my mental health, but it was quite a challenging and quite a possibility to really see the diversity of values, and we will discuss that tomorrow in the cafe with coffee. And The action plan was a step forward, and so many colleagues from all over the world working in sexual and reproductive health said, you have managed to approve the document in Europe which includes the word sexual and reproductive health and rights. So I really want now, with applause, to help to thank all those who were involved in this process. Action plan has three main goals, and these main goals are including informed decision. Sexuality education is main part of those key actions under the goal one. It has also goal two, that is the highest attainable standard and well-being, emphasizing the services and health services. It has the third goal that emphasizes the universal access to sexual and reproductive health and elimination of inequalities. It has objective number 3.1, where we emphasize expand the scope and reach the sexual reproductive health services for adolescents. I'm very thankful to all of you who already took the copies of the action plan, and I have heard that not that much left. Anyway, it is available on WHO webpage. You can easily download that document. And if you have special need to have hard copy, just email us, and we will try to do our best. And here comes the main thing. So first thing, we don't know about adolescents and young people anything. Please, and I really plead before I retire, please work in this area, collect the data, and publish. Please, in the European region, if we have no publications of that kind, then the world looks at Europe and says, everything is fine, everything is perfect. Besides that, help your member states. In what? In 3 years, now already in 3 years, all countries, all governments, all ministries of health are to report back how they are implementing the just approved action plans. So help them to monitor how it is improved, how it is going on with the implementation. And that is the first leap. Partnership is the other thing. And I really would like to end this my presentation with this vision. With the vision that WHO European region is a region in which all people, regardless of sex, age, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, social economic conditions, ethnicity, cultural background, and legal status, are enabled and supported in achieving their full potential for sexual and reproductive health and well-being. A region where their human rights related to sexual and reproductive health are respected, protected, and fulfilled. And a region in which countries individually and jointly work towards reducing inequalities in sexual and reproductive health and rights. Yes, three countries have dissociated themselves from this vision. Others really believe in that. So do I. And I really would like to wish us all, including my granddaughter and hopefully my more grandchildren, to live in this better world. Thank you very much.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Thank you very much, Günther. Yes, I know we are running a little bit late, but we have started later, so we just take that time now. There is a short question and answer session foreseen. So if there are any burning issues that you would like to address quickly now, then there is some space for that. If you take the floor, please be so kind, give us your name, your organization, and your country. So, okay, I see a hand here.
No.
Please, microphone. You need a microphone, otherwise we can't translate and can't hear you.
My name is Daria Alexeeva. I'm from the Netherlands, FU International. You intrigued us so much with those three countries who almost blocked the action plan. I just can't wait to hear them.
Okay. I will not make any competitions now who read the first page of the cover of the action plan. It is there clearly because that was what was requested. And yes, these countries are Hungary, Poland, and Turkey.
Any more questions?
And no Malta, and no Russian Federation, and no many others, no, that were discussing the issue.
Thank you, Gunther. Are there any more questions at this point in time? I see no hands raised.
I will be here to the very end of the conference.
To the very end, absolutely. Thank you very much, Gunther, again.